to the political cesspool known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back, my friends, to the Political Cesspool radio program, our award-winning talk show coming to you from AM 1380 WLRM Radio in Memphis, Tennessee, syndicated nationwide on the Liberty News Radio Network and their AM-FM affiliate stations, also simulcasting online at thepoliticalcesspool.org, where our broadcast archives are available to you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, on demand, dating back to 2005. I want to thank my co-host Keith Alexander for his services during that first hour. We went through a couple of big political stories this week that have developed with our usual flair and panache. Now joining me, co-host Eddie the Bombardier Miller and Winston Smith. Gentlemen, how are you tonight?
Well, I'm doing fine. It's really great to be on with my younger brother. You know, absolutely, he is the ace co-pilot of the B-17. I don't know how many kills he has to his record.
Now, would that be you, Winston, he's referring to?
I just don't know, but I'd like to think so. It's always my great pleasure to be the co-pilot of the political cesspool's B-17 when Eddie the Bombardier Miller is at the Norton bomb site taking aim over a target.
Well, gentlemen, you know that our plane, if we can use the analogy, has never soared any higher than it is this week. The political cesspool under a crush of media attention, and of course, we always welcome the media attention. We are proud to serve as the voice of paleoconservative European Americans. We do not run from that. We accept our identity and are very honored to be able to advance the self-interest of our people and our ideology. Now, that being said, the political cesspool has always attracted great media attention from my appearances on CNN to the interviews we've done with major publications such as Newsweek magazine. Winston, you had a hand in that. The Los Angeles Times, New York Times, LA Times, so on and so forth. But perhaps never before in the history of our program have we gotten as much attention as we have this summer. And of course, some of that is due to the fact that you stand the test of time long enough with consistency. People finally catch on to the fact. But of course, they have now, if they hadn't before, the political cesspool mentioned in Keith Olbermann's Worst Person of the World commentary back in June. We've been attacked by Eli Roth of Inglourious Basterds for our association with Mel Gibson's father. Now, the political cesspool is embroiled in the biggest political story in Arizona this week. And it all started a couple of weeks ago. We are going to now take you, ladies and gentlemen, over the course of this hour through a step-by-step, week-by-week analysis of how the political cesspool became enmeshed in this controversy between John McCain and J.D. Hayworth. Eddie, it all started when you took notice of Sheriff Paul Bebeau of Pinal County, Arizona. How did you first hear about Sheriff Bebeau?
Well, you know, I've heard little whisperings about him, but when I first listened to him speak was on the Alex Jones radio program. When I heard the fellow speak, I was mesmerized, and I thought, well, I found a kindred soul here. I really do. He spoke his mind. He was, you know, eloquent, intelligent, forceful, and he said some things that really I do not believe I would have said had I still been in uniform. He came right up to the edge of calling President Obama a borderline traitor. You know, that's guts. I mean, that's a lot of guts, folks. I don't care if he does have, cover from Senator McCain. But I heard him there, and I said, I've got to get that man on the cesspool.
All right, so when was the first time that you called his office?
James, I started calling that office probably the middle to late June. It took me, sir, quite a while to line up with Tim Gaffney. I found out the reason of that was they were in transition between their personnel department and their media consultants. They got a new fellow in, and the new fellow is Tim Gaffney. He's the fellow we spoke about July 10th. He is the retired motorcycle cop because he was retired medically, had a wreck, and I spoke to him the week prior to July 3rd. I think July 3rd was the night we were supposed to have the sheriff on.
That's right. So you had about how many conversations approximately with Tim Gaffney, who is, for lack of a better term, Paul Bebeau's press secretary? How many conversations did you have with Gaffney before you started talking with the sheriff himself?
During the week leading up to July 3rd, that Saturday, during that week, I spoke to him at least 3 to 4 times, I would estimate. And I spoke to him, James, later. You know, as you know, as the audience knows, we were very disappointed in the fact that Sheriff Bebeau was unable to come on the radio. Because he got called out on an emergency.
Yeah, let me just say this, Eddie. So that was July 3rd that Sheriff Bebeau was originally scheduled to be on the program. But before
we get
to that, I just want to ask you this: in the conversations with his press agent, Mr. Gaffney,
Tim Gaffney,
were those conversations positive?
They could be no more positive. You know, I felt like I was talking to some of my best friends in the world. I won't name some of them on the air, but I can name you guys because you're already under fire like me. It was like you and me and Keith and Winston were on a fishing trip.
Okay, so
it was great. We had great rapport. Hey, there was instant chemistry.
Instant chemistry, and in during these conversations with Paul Bebeau's handler, did you mention the nature of our radio program, what we stand for, who we fight for?
Yes, I did, James, and I made it perfectly clear. I told them to check us out from head to toe. I referred them to our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org. I said, go on, it's in there. I mean, I'm barely computer literate, as you know, and it's easy to find. You can go in on any search engine and find it. But yes, I did. I referred them to the politicalcesspool.org webpage.
And in doing so, you also let them know that we are a paleoconservative and indeed a pro-white entity.
It with no apologies whatsoever.
Okay, so that was clear. And Tim Gaffney didn't seem to bat an eye at that.
Didn't bat an eye. As a matter of fact, and let me make this perfectly clear too, James, I still hold no malice toward these guys. I know it, at heart, I feel in my gut they're good guys. Like I was telling Winston on the break, I believe they've come under just almost an unbearable amount of pressure because of the senatorial race in Arizona.
And we're going to get to that in the next segment, the pressure that they must be under. And let me be clear, too. We support the job that these men are doing in the defense of our border, the reclamation of America's destiny, protecting us from the dangers of the illegal alien invasion. These men are doing the job right, but we feel the need, and we're going to get into that more in just a minute about why we must set the record straight here. But I want to ask Eddie one more thing. During the evolution of your relationship with Tim Gaffney and eventually Paul Bebeau, which we're about to talk about, y'all obviously hit it off to a great enough extent to where they had invited you to come down and do a ride-along with one of the Pinal County deputies in which you would be allowed to observe and report as a correspondent for this radio program live from the scene in Pinal County. Now, that was an unsolicited invitation, was it not, Eddie? This was something that they offered readily.
Correct. That was done. Invitation was extended to me from Sheriff Bebeau on the Saturday, July 3rd, after about 9:03 p.m. because the sheriff called in to apologize for being late.
All right, and Eddie, like I said, we're coming close on the break, so I want to start off the next segment with your first conversation with Sheriff Bebeau, because they're saying, among other things, that you never talked with Bebeau before we had him on the air the night of July 10th, and so we're going to get to that in the next segment. But they're also saying, and I think you've debunked this on the record, that you did make it known to Tim Gaffney, and we're going to get into what you told Bebeau in the next segment, but you did make it known to Tim Gaffney the nature of our show, that we're pro-white, we're paleoconservative, Christian radio program, so on and so forth. So you've already essentially testified to that fact. They invited you down after knowing the nature of our show. They invited you down for the experience that we just made mention of. But they also said, in fact, that you could even bring a firearm. You are a veteran. You are someone who has a handgun carry permit here in Tennessee. And, of course, Arizona is an open carry state to begin with. But you were even encouraged to go that far. So, obviously, y'all had a great relationship developing here. And so, Eddie, is everything I've said right there accurate? We've got about 30 seconds to break.
It's very accurate. It is totally accurate. And I can follow up on that after the break.
Okay, well,
anything you want to say.
We're going to bring Winston Smith on. We're going to get a few more facts and figures here, and then we're going to go into our opinion and analysis. So basically where we're leaving off now, you know that Eddie had multiple conversations with Sheriff Babu's office and his press secretary. You know the nature of these calls, what was discussed. And now we're going to move into the night of July 3rd, which was a week before Babu's appearance on the political cesspool, and what Eddie and the sheriff discussed that night immediately after our broadcast. So that's what we're going to pick up in the story of a political debate that is broiling in Arizona. Stay tuned.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
Don't let me be misunderstood. Don't let me be misunderstood.
Please don't understand me, baby.
Don't let me be misunderstood.
Don't misunderstand.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Right now, ladies and gentlemen, we are setting the record straight about the biggest political news story in Arizona this week. It's a news story that is now right in the center of the political race between John McCain and J.D. Hayworth. And it has to do with the relationship between Pinal County Sheriff Paul Babu and our radio program. Eddie, we're going through the chronological order of how everything transpired now with Eddie Miller. In the first segment, Eddie made clear that he had approximately four conversations in advance of Babu's appearance with his press secretary, Tim Gaffney. During these conversations, it was made explicitly clear the nature of our program. And as a result, they struck up a great rapport, and Eddie was invited to come down to Arizona and do a ride-along in which he would be able to observe and then report to the program that which he has seen down there. Now, that leads us up to the night of July 3rd. During the course of Eddie's conversations with Tim Gaffney at the Pinal County Sheriff's Office, they agreed that Sheriff Babu would call into the radio program on the evening of July 3rd. That did happen. Sheriff Paul Babu, I was informed by our producer, called in about 3 minutes prior to the end of our program. He had been detained due to a couple of work-related issues, and he called in too late to be on the show that night. Eddie, what happened immediately after we got off the air on the night of July 3rd?
To my great joy that night, about, it must have been around 9:05 p.m. Central Standard Time when my telephone rang and I came to answer it and I saw the Arizona area code and I was elated and it was Sheriff Paul Babu who had called my home, to apologize for being late, but he had an excuse like it was a sheriff's emergency, that is an emergency. So we proceeded to speak somewhere between 35 minutes and 55 minutes. I've rounded off roughly 45 minutes, give or take a few, you know, because it was such an enjoyable conversation. I was just mesmerized by it. I was just, you know, totally into it. And, we were laughing. The sheriff and I laughed together. And I can't tell you a lot of things I said because we would be kicked off the air if I did.
But so basically.
I told the sheriff, you know, we have to, clean our language up on the air. I must admit that his language is cleaner than mine.
So you're telling me, Eddie,
we had a long conversation, and he told me, "Here's what really, if you know, James, I was so excited I couldn't hardly sleep." He got the sheriff invited me to come down and to do ride-alongs. He told me he would pick out his squared away deputy, this ace deputy, and I could ride along with him. Well, folks, I was so excited. I planned to go down there. I told the sheriff I would like to come down there and do at least one broadcast from out in the bush, preferably with the bullets flying, you know. And if nothing else, worst coming to worst, we would have to do it back at the sheriff's office. But I would like to do two, if I could. Get down there early and do one on a Saturday night, do another interview that next Saturday night, and come home.
But all right, so Eddie,
that's what happened.
All right, so you're telling me, we know that you had multiple conversations before July 3rd with Tim Gaffney, Babu's press secretary, you're telling me on the night of July 3rd, and I know this to be true because, I was here when he called in that night, and I was the one who encouraged him to call you. But so he did call you, in fact, and you spoke with Sheriff Paul Babu himself, not Tim Gaffney, on the night of July 3rd after our program. And during that conversation, y'all hit it off, just like you and Gaffney did. You and the sheriff hit it off. You had a very open, frank, and candid conversation, just like you had been, as you put it, two hunting buddies. And during this conversation, Sheriff Babu also reiterated the fact that you were invited to come down there and everything else that you just mentioned. Now, we know that you made mention of it to Tim Gaffney, but did you also tell Sheriff Paul Babu, when you spoke with him on July 3rd, that the nature of our program?
Yes, I most certainly did. And I told him, just like I did Tim Gaffney, I referred him to our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org.
So they're saying that you referred them to the WLRM website, which is our flagship station in Memphis. You referred them directly to the personal website of this radio program.
Our personal website, with our code of ethics, what we believe in, and no one believes in those ethics any stronger than I do. And in the sheriff's defense, and I've seen the way the media are just savaging him down there, and you can be my guest, my witness. We treated him nicer, more fair than any people that's spoken, that's interviewed him. The news have been they've been savaging him down there in Arizona. And James, if you'll notice, we never brought up any side issues. We spoke specifically about the drug wars, about how the illegals were coming up 80 into 100 miles up in north into Arizona. That's all we talked about. I told him, if you remember, James, I volunteered to be the sheriff's personal bodyguard.
That's right.
Because the county, he did not, and to his credit, James, he didn't want to hire a personal bodyguard, even though he's under a legitimate, it's been proven, a legitimate threat from the Mexican drug cartel. They have a hit on that man right now.
And Eddie, what was the sheriff's response when you,
He told me he wouldn't ask me to do that. And I said, Sheriff, you don't have to ask me anything. I'm volunteering that house. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to rock and roll.
All right. Now, Eddie, that being said, we know that Babu also offered the opportunity for you to come down there. You told him specifically about the nature of our program, paleoconservative, Christian, pro-white. And you also went a step further and told him, to be open and fair and honest about everything, the attacks that we've suffered from hate groups like the ADL and the Southern Poverty Law Center. You let him know.
I specifically named the groups we were under attack.
Did he ever bat an eye?
Batted an eye because, you know what? Here's how I referenced that statement to him. I said, we were under attack by the same hate groups that you were under. You being called an xenophobe, and a racist, because he wants to enforce the laws of the state of Arizona. He wants to enforce the laws of the United States to protect the people in Pinal County, Arizona. And I said, those same groups, the ADL, the JDL, the SPLC, they attack us daily. Every stinking day. So don't let it bother you. It rolls off us.
What did he say to that advice?
I think they're pathetic. And I said, don't let them get under your skin.
And what did he say to that?
You're going to catch, holy heck.
And what did he say to that?
He was not afraid of them. And I guarantee you, that man is not afraid of them. But there is something out there that he is afraid of. And I think I know what it is, but that's another issue.
We're going to get into that in the next segment. We've now come up to the point where, also, of course, during the course of this conversation, the sheriff agreed to come back on the show on July 10th. He missed the July 3rd originally scheduled interview. He did come back on July 10th. Obviously, portions of that interview are being played on every television affiliate in Arizona this week. The sheriff came on for a very robust and enthusiastic 30-minute interview with the political cesspool during the third hour of our July 10th broadcast. All right. It went well. It went very well. We were very excited. Eddie, you were making your travel plans, booking a hotel up in Pinal County to where you could go down and take advantage of their invitation to do a ride-along. Now, between July 10th and July 19th, something happened. We're going to get into that and why when the political cesspool returns right after this. Very big story Again, we encourage you to go to thepoliticalcesspool.org, where we've documented in about a half dozen blog posts everything that we're talking about here, with the links to the establishment press sources who are covering the story. People are saying that it could cost John McCain the election even. This is a huge story that the political cesspool is right in the middle of. So we're going to find out where it all unraveled between the days of July 10th when the sheriff appeared and July 19th when this story started making front page headlines. That's next segment when the political cesspool returns. James Edwards, Eddie Miller, and Winston Smith at your service.
Don't go away. The political cesspool guys will be back right after these messages. Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, continuing on now with Eddie the Bombardier Miller and Winston Smith. I'm your host, James Edwards. We are recapping step-by-step the nature of our relationship with Sheriff Paul Bebue of Pinal County, Arizona, and how it developed and now, unfortunately, how it unraveled. So we're up to the night of July 10th. We had a great interview with the sheriff. Everything's hunky-dory. You're in cahoots with both him and his press secretary. You're on your way to Arizona. Now, fast forward to July 19th, which was this past Monday, and a couple of radically liberal blogs, Little Green Footballs and Media Matters, hardly mainstream media sources, catch wind that Paul Bebue has been on our program. And like they do with any prominent elected official or entertainer, they publicize the fact that he is associating with us, which is perfectly fine. We're upstanding citizens and have a great talk radio program. But, of course, they have a different opinion. They think that we're this, that, and the other. But as they did with Pat Buchanan and Hutton Gibson and so many other people who have appeared, they publicize the fact that Paul Bebue had been on the show. Now, unlike Pat Buchanan, who in response to being attacked for being on the show, he put up the interview on his own website. He said, well, you know, so what? You know, he put the interview up on his website, Pat Buchanan. Hutton Gibson, Mel Gibson's dad, did the exact same thing. He gets attacked for coming on the show. You know, so what? These are great guys. I hope they have me back. He puts it up on his website. Paul Bebue, unfortunately, did that which you should never do, and that is he started waffling and apologizing. Now, on the night of July 19th, we saw that these blogs were publicizing the fact that he had been on our show. And we knew that there was a good chance that more mainstream sources, more mainstream newspapers would pick it up. We didn't know how big it would eventually get, but we knew that it was an opportunity. So as a courtesy, I asked you, Eddie, to get back in touch with the sheriff and just say, you know, we hate that this is happening, but, you know, where do we stand? How y'all going to handle it? So you did talk at about 6 p.m. Central Time on the night of Monday, July 19th, with, once again, Tim Gaffney. What was the nature of that conversation after they knew and we knew that this was about to go public?
You're absolutely correct, the entire segment you just gave. And actually, Tim Gaffney beat me to the punch. He called. I was getting ready to call him because I was getting ready to go that week. I wanted to get on the plane and go to Arizona that week. I wanted to call him and ask him, you know, is everything still on? Are we still cool? Because, you know, of just what you said, the news, the bad news breaking out like that. And he told me, when I spoke to Tim Gaffney, I said, I'm ready to rock and roll. I couldn't keep him on the line very long because he seemed like he was under a lot of stress, he was speaking fast and kind of stuttering. He told me that he had to go. He didn't have long to talk. He had a meeting or something. He said he would get back to me. He said everything was cool, though. He said he thinks things will blow over. It'll take a few days for it to blow over, and we could get back together, you know. But he never told me that night that the deal was off.
And also, Eddie, he did agree to have a conference call with us about how to deal with the media the following Tuesday morning at 10, in which the sheriff would be a participant.
That's right. I set up our media consultant by the name of Bill Rowland. I called him and asked him would he be willing to you know, to get together with Tim Gaffney and
the
interview,
sheriff.
Let Bill interview him because Bill wanted to give him his advice, and Bill's an expert at this. Bill has been under the gun like this many times before. He knows what he's doing. I wanted Bill to give him his expert advice on how to handle this situation coming out from the left-wing news people. And I don't think that conversation, in fact, I'm sure that conversation never transpired because, if I'm not mistaken, that very night around 10 to 11 o'clock Central Standard Time, he released some kind of a press reference, press release denying that he trying to distance himself from the political cesspool.
All right, and that's what I'm going to talk about now. So you talked to Tim Gaffney on Monday night, July 19th. He said, everything's fine, let's let it blow over. He was obviously stressed a little bit, but understandably so. He agreed to have a conference call with us and our co-host, Bill Rowland, in which we'd go over ways to handle this situation the following day at 10 a.m.
Correct.
Now, in between that night and the next morning when our conference call was supposed to take place, the sheriff's office issues a press release to every news media organization in Arizona. And in this press release, they say the following things, among others, Eddie. It says that, number one, the first time you ever spoke to Sheriff Paul Bebeau was during our live interview on July 10th. Obviously, that's not true.
That's totally untrue. And, you know, James, I know this is unprofessional because I'm not a professional, but we're all amateurs here. I was heartbroken. I was really crushed. You know, I wear my feelings on my sleeve, and I really formed a bond with these guys, and I was really crushed. That upset me really bad. I was really upset, but everything's true. That's what you said.
All right. Now, they also said that not only did you not talk to Sheriff Bebeau, even though your phone records will prove that you did, in fact, talk to him on the night of July 3rd for 45 minutes. You had a great conversation. They say that you never made it clear to either of them the nature of our politics.
I don't know how I can make it any clearer. I mean, you know, when I level with the guys, just like we said before, just like you were, you know, riding the car on the way to go deer hunting, we had, it's like a, you know, a good old boy conversation. I told them our basic philosophies, which is, to me, is just pure driven snow.
And they seem to agree point by point, correct?
Yes, sir. And,
all right, now.
I referred them to, I want to emphasize this. I said, go to thepoliticalcesspool.org. And everything, you know, a lot more eloquently than I can speak, is on there. Like, and I'm just an ordinary old Joe. I'm not a professional media guy. But we do this, because we love it.
Well, Eddie, the final thing that I'd like for you to set the record straight on is this. You've told me, obviously you've told the world tonight on this show, and God knows how many press reporters are tuned in tonight, that the last time you talked to Tim Gaffney was on Monday, July 19th, 6 p.m. Central.
Yes, and he was supposed to get back with us the next day, which
right.
never materialized.
He said in the press release, though, Eddie, that he contacted you and canceled any future interviews or contact that you wanted to have with the Pinal County Sheriff's Office. Did he ever tell you that?
That right there is a flat lie. That's out at lie. He told me to have Bill Rowland, our media consultant. Bill Rowland is our media consultant. He told me, yes, he would talk to Bill, to have him call, have Bill call Tim at 10 a.m. Pacific time, which would be, noon our time.
That's
Central
right.
Standard.
All right, so that was the last conversation you had with either Gaffney or Bebeau, and the fact that he said, do not contact them again, that's just a bald-faced lie.
That's right, and, you know, being the hard-headed optimist I am, I was very tempted to call him and say, hey, man, this is going to blow over. Don't worry about this crap. Stand on your hind legs and fight. Ignore it. But that was my natural gut feeling. I wanted to get back to these guys. I felt like they were friends. We bonded so fast. And listen, I wanted to go down there. I wanted to get in that ruckus so bad I could taste it, man. I wanted to go down there and get.
Wait, you
want to
defend
neck in it,
Eddie? Stuff. Just like you did in Vietnam, you want to defend your country. You want to protect us from you know, illegal aliens. In this case, now
it's exciting. I have to say this also. It was really exciting. He told me about it. The sheriff told me they hit about 62 high speed chases. Last month in June. And man, I was ready to rock and roll. You know that, James.
Well, I know you were, Eddie. And So that being said, this press release goes out on Monday, and then for the rest of the week, it is everywhere. Arizona Daily Star out of Tucson, running multiple headlines. The Arizona Republic out of Phoenix, multiple ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox affiliates in Arizona running stories about Paul Bebeau, his apology, his association with our radio program. And we have always maintained no enemies to the right. My gut reaction was to not go on record about this, even though we were, you know, he was choosing to distance himself from the radio program. I was going to let that slide, but when, I guess this is just the Southern Christian way, when someone calls you a liar, I think you have to take issue with that, and that's certainly what they've called us here. I think you have to take issue with that, and you have to set the record straight. This is about dignity and honor, and that's why we're airing this out tonight. Otherwise, we would have just let it slide, but that's why we're doing it, and we're going to get into the political ramifications of it in the next segment. Why could it cost John McCain the election? How should Bebeau have answered these press inquiries? Why did he answer in the way they did? Was McCain putting political pressure on him? Winston Smith has got, a basket full of arrows ready to shoot into this thing, and we're going to get his commentary, opinion, and analysis as well. Why did J.D. Hayworth issue a press release on the matter? Why did the Arizona Democratic Party issue a press release on the matter? Why is this the biggest story in Arizona politics this week? Perhaps even overshadowing the immigration fight itself. We're gonna examine that when we return.
Don't go away. The political cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
We gotta get out of this place. If it's the last thing we ever do, we gotta get out of this place. There's a better life for me.
If I didn't tell him, I didn't. Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James' time, toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the Political Cesspool radio program. I'm your host, James Edwards, Eddie the Bobbiter Miller, Winston Smith with me as we take you step by step through the progression that led up to this firestorm raging in Arizona this week. It's a manufactured firestorm. We have been cast by the media as the bad guys. We are pro-white. That is natural and healthy for us as European Americans to want to stand up and take pride in our cultural heritage and to advance the self-interests of our kinsmen. It is no different than pro-black groups or pro-Jewish groups, all of which exist. They all exist, and they are not only allowed to exist, they are encouraged to exist. So why should the dispossessed majority of this nation not also have the same rights and benefits as minority groups? Well, we stand up. We are the radio voice for European Americans, particularly paleo-conservative European Americans, but the media doesn't see it that way. They don't see it. They think it's evil for white people to come together as an ethnocentric political force, whereas it's perfectly fine for the minorities to do the same, and we don't stand for those kind of hypocritical double standards. And so that's why this program has made such a name for itself, because white people need leadership, and we provide it. But that being said, we've been cast as the bad guys in this story, and the story could have gone away if Sheriff Bebeau had said, listen, I don't care what your opinion of these guys is. I know them. I've talked to them. They're good guys. They're the kind of guys that I really relate to. That would have been the truth, but that's not what he said. He apologized, and like a pack of wild jackals or sharks that smell blood in the water, they have absolutely butchered the sheriff, and it's a shame because it didn't have to happen. He did nothing wrong. Winston, what's your take on everything that's happening, everything we've discussed?
James, as I wrote to you earlier in an email, as I read all of these stories and as I watched all of the video footage, the thing that stood out to me more than anything was the fact that every news item referred to the political cesspool as a, quote, openly claimed to be pro-white, as if that is the only thing that that people should take away from this entire episode, that the political cesspool, we openly claim to be pro-white. And they mention it as though it's a bad thing. I kept expecting to hear that creepy music that plays when Dracula enters the room. Every time they said the political cesspool claims to be pro-white. Now, as you said earlier, James, is there anything wrong with the ADL saying that they openly advocate for Jews? Would anybody think it worth mentioning that the NAACP openly advocates for blacks? Oh, well, of course not. It's only when white people openly say, I am proud of my race, and I'm going to take steps to make sure that we get our due, that we have the right not just to exist, but to prosper. And indeed, America has prospered because of white people. But as I read all of this, and I read that one criticism, if you can call it that we openly claim to be pro-white, I thought of something that William Raspberry wrote. William Raspberry is a black columnist for the Washington Post. And here's what he wrote a while back. Quote, "It is always illegitimate for white men to organize as white men." Now, he pretty much summed up the sentiment of the anti-white movement in America perfectly. Every other group has the right to organize as their ethnic group, except for white people. And what I want our listeners to take away from this is that, yes, the media is finally getting it right. We are an openly pro-white program, and there is nothing wrong with it. And you know, Sheriff Babu, he had nothing to apologize for, James. And he did. He apologized for calling Eddie a great American. He apologized for lavishing praise upon the political cesspool. And, you know, when he was confronted with this, what he should have said was, yes, I was on the program because we share some beliefs, just like we will not share all of our beliefs. They believe some of the same things that I do, and that's what I wanted to emphasize in that interview. They have some beliefs with which I vehemently disagree. But I went on the show, and I will go on any show. I will talk to anyone with whom I share a certain belief. Now, if the ADL asked him to appear for an interview, of course he would jump at it. But I suspect that the sheriff is going to claim that he's a Christian, but he would gladly do an interview with the ADL, which is a Jew organization. And folks, you need to refresh your memory as to what Jews believe. For example, they believe that our Savior is the bastard son of a whore, to use their words, and that he is now in hell boiling in body fluids. Jews believe that if they see a non-Jew in mortal peril, they are under no obligation to render aid.
Well, I mean, and of course, that is Winston, you know, the more radical strains of Zionism or Jewish supremacism, if you can call it that. And that is all accurate, unfortunately, and not all of them subscribe to that. But, you know, again,
so that's the ADL, James, and yet Sheriff Favreau would not hesitate to go on that show and trumpet it proudly that he went on with the ADL, even though they actually hate him if he's a Christian. But, you know, I didn't want to make too big of a point of that. But the point is that the sheriff handled this entirely wrongly. And now the poor people of Arizona, for all the abuse they've suffered over the past several weeks and couple of months, they now have this choice to make. Do they want to vote for this guy who is in office, experienced, and is certainly probably a qualified candidate, but he has just backpedaled when confronted with one of his actions, rather than saying, I did it, here's why I did it, and I don't agree with everything on the political cesspool, but we agree on the topic that we discussed, which is illegal immigration.
Winston, you made a point, and I would like to chime in because you referred to something that the sheriff actually did on one of the news programs that we saw. The sheriff was on a Sunday news program, and he told the news guy who was interviewing him, I believe it was on News 12 out of Arizona. Anyway, he told the news guy, he said, here's what he said, and this will come to an exact quote. He said, I don't know what religion you are or what philosophy you hold, but I'm sitting here speaking with you. You know, we can have different religions, we can have different core beliefs, but we can sit here and speak civilly. But evidently, that privilege or right is not held out for the political cesspool, Winslow. You nailed it.
And again, I think what's in play here is that the sheriff had good instincts. He genuinely was attracted to our program and to Eddie. He extended the invitation for Eddie to come down there, so on and so forth. I think that the pressure is coming from John McCain. Keep in mind why Sheriff Babu is such a big name, why his appearance on our show is getting so much interest, and that's because he is one of John McCain's biggest backers, which is ironic in a way because John McCain has spent a career advocating for illegal alien amnesty, but nevertheless, Sheriff Babu has appeared in all of John McCain's, at least two highly prominent John McCain television ads that have run statewide. He is readily recognized as one of the most prominent John McCain supporters, and I think it was John McCain who, after his camp caught wind of some of the news circulating around the story, called him and said, "This is what you are going to do, whether you want to or not." Now, Winston, do you think I'm far off there? And we're about to go to the next break.
James, I think you are spot on. That is precisely what happened. And I feel sorry for Sheriff Babu because he obviously is a man of some principle, a man of some of quite a bit of experience. And as Keith Alexander said in the last hour, James, this is a man who puts his life on the line weekly, if not daily. And yet when he's confronted with that dread word racism, he cowers. The sheriff should have gotten a hold of Racism Schmacism, which you can order at www.politicalcesspool.com, 1995, plus shipping and handling, right?
Well, thepoliticalcesspool.org, Winston, you got a little bit too excited.
Oh, I'm sorry, I keep forgetting that. But the point is, the sheriff handled this badly. He has proven himself to be less than honorable, and I feel sorry for him, because as Eddie said, I trust Eddie's gut instinct on people, and especially since he spent so much time talking with these people. He is a man who is having to hold his nose and bite his tongue and say what other people want him to say. Now, before I say any more about this, Eddie, I'd like to ask you a question.
Winston, we got 15 seconds.
That the sheriff never talked with you before the night of the program, and yet you have the phone records to prove that. And James, you're probably right that there are a lot of media types, a lot of reporters listening to this broadcast right now. Eddie, are you prepared to make your phone records available to refute what the sheriff has said?
Yes or no, Eddie? We got to go to break. Eddie?
Yeah.
Okay, I guess that was the answer. We'll be back right after this. Sit tight, everybody. Third hour.
Okay, coming your way right after these messages.